Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
That brings us, after that scriptural baptism, to the last bit of the first paragraph of the church covenant. And it says, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. And again, we looked at that. We looked at what constitutes a church. We looked at the covenant, how it is a pledge, it is a vow, an agreement that's made amongst people. And that is what the church covenant, the introduction, lets us know. That the vow we make is a sacred vow because look at who is present at this promise. We acknowledge in the church covenant that it's in the presence of God, in the presence of angels. By the way, it really doesn't matter what you think or how you feel about the subject of angels and that kind of thing. The bottom line is scripture says very clearly that they are around us. There's no debate about that. Now, you can get in a twist about their involvement and that kind of thing with life, but you cannot ignore the fact that angels have a very real interest. Biblically, they have an interest in what's happening here amongst us. They desire to look into these things. Not only that, but they have some active participation. I won't get into all of that, but just know that this isn't just a promise that's made between you and I, and we're going to keep each other accountable, but this is a promise that's made in the presence of God. It's His church and angels, all of this assembly. So that word solemnly means with gravity and religious reverence. It means it's to be taken very seriously. But also, we enter it joyfully. So you understand, just because something is serious doesn't mean that it is absent of joy. Here, this covenant is serious, but we have joy in what we're doing. We're happy to be a part of it, to be able to serve the Lord as a member of one of His New Testament churches. And so it's with that we can examine the pledge that the members actually make. That's the introduction or the qualifications for it. Beginning with that pledge upward. And remember, we outlined that. We looked at these paragraphs. There's a pledge upward. It's our commitment to God. There's a pledge inward. It's a commitment to self of how we're going to be governed in our personal life. There's a commitment outward towards those around us. And then the final paragraph is a commitment forward, meaning we're never going to walk away from this pledge, from this vow. Even when we're removed from this church body, we vow that as soon as possible, we will unite with another church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. It is a pledge forward. We never step away from it. We never neglect it. So even if life takes us different directions, this covenant holds true, and we're to carry it to the next scriptural New Testament church that we join ourselves to. So, what is the pledge? Well, the second paragraph says, we engage, therefore. So, with this in mind, with these qualifications and with this understanding, here is what we pledge to do. And that's what talks about we engage. That means we pledge. And let me actually just share this about a church covenant real quick. The Bible is the very word of God, and it's the perfect rule and the perfect guide for our faith and our life here on this earth. It's important that we remember that in addition to the Bible, as missionary Baptists, we have no rule and no guide in addition to God's word. That is our ultimate leadership and direction as far as any kind of a document we might have. In expressing what we understand the Bible to teach, however, Baptists have throughout the centuries written out what they understood it concerning principles and practices. And this is where we find documents such as declarations of faith, articles of agreement, and the church covenant. And they have been adopted as summaries of these expressions of what we believe the Bible to teach concerning doctrinal positions and practical ways of expressing them and preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. So the church covenant, and that's what we're about to find, is a promise to do certain things. It is a pledge of action. A declaration or a statement of faith contains statements of things that we believe. The church covenant is primarily based off of things that you are going to do. So that's what distinguishes these documents. And these are not sacred, infallible documents in the sense that they were inspired, that the writers were put under the Holy Ghost and that they were penned these words, but these are special documents in that they are directly drawn from what is the inspired Word of God, the completed Word of God, and it serves as a summary of certain principles. So, what do we promise to do in paragraph 2 of the Church Covenant? Well, we engage, or we pledge, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Notice there that pledge that we make by the aid of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to magnify Christ in His church. It's one of the avenues through which the Holy Spirit operates. And for our life, we ought to be governed by that same power. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That was one of our memory verse camp. And the next verse says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with," meaning to be governed or to be controlled, "by the Spirit." And that was the idea. He paints the picture, the illustration between somebody that, well, they're being governed under the influence of alcohol. Well, we ought to be governed under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That ought to be what guides our decisions and our directions in life. And we acknowledge this in the church covenant, that it's by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we promise to do the following. It's not in the power of man. This is not because we are so great or we're so spiritual that we are going to live up to this standard, but rather it's that we're going to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're going to carry out these biblical principles of Scripture. To walk together in Christian love. We commit ourselves to walk in Christian love with other members of the church. This is the very spirit of the Lord's words when He said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And the very first pledge that we make is that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are promising that we will walk together in Christian love. This covenant is a great thing to examine, because you can then look in your own life. And if there are certain members of the church that you have contentions or strivings, and you are not walking together in Christian love, you are failing to fulfill your promise as a member of the church. But more importantly, you are failing to be obedient to the very Word of God, yea, even to instructions that Jesus left here during His earthly ministry. We're to walk together in Christian love. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." The daily manifestation of this kind of a love towards one another is a means of demonstrating to the world that we know Jesus. We are doing as He commanded us. This is the very fulfillment of the law of Christ, to love one's neighbor as himself. In Romans 13:10, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So as a body, we should walk together in Christian love. And if we cannot do this with the aid of the Holy Spirit, there's not much help for any of the other promises that are to follow. We must be an example of love, especially among the brethren. Well, then we find the next pledge, the next promise that's made, is to strive for the advancement of this church. And the first thing that's outlined is in knowledge. And ask yourself this question: do I strive? This is you personal. Don't all of y'all look at me and think, "Does Kyler strive?" That's not. Y'all look inwardly and ask yourself, do I strive hard to advance my church in knowledge? It's a promise and a pledge that's made. And again, this is because it's what Scripture commands us to do. Do I strive to advance myself in the knowledge of the Word of the Lord? The term strive, boy, it's a good term, a good word. It means to work hard, to labor strenuously and earnestly in this context. Do we work hard and labor earnestly and strenuously to learn more and more about the Word of God?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.